We're going to pick up right there answering the question of the city in turmoil that asks, who is this? The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became angry and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never heard? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. He left them, went out of the city to Bethany, and spent the night there. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've jumped about four chapters back in Matthew to get to this story. We've been doing the parables of this last week. And I've kind of highlighted that those parables are kind of like Jesus trying to do the cram session before the certification exam that's coming on Thursday and Friday of this week. But I wanted you to notice something, and I noticed something about this passage this week. And then it's kind of that Jesus is done playing games. Okay? Jesus actually takes charge in a way that we do not often see in the Gospels when it comes to getting into town on Palm Sunday. It's one of the very few times he tells the disciples, just go do this, do this, do this, do this, boom. No interpretation, just go do it. So we start off, they're at Olivet. It's, okay, you're going to go into town, you're going to hang a left at the first corner, and you're going to go into this house, and you're going to see a donkey and a colt, and you're going to get them, and you're going to bring them here. And if anybody gives you any trouble, you say, the Lord needs them. That's it. I need them. Go get them. Let's do this. They come out. They put their coats on the colt and the donkey, and they ride into town, and somehow spontaneously this thing happens. It may be the first documented case of a flash mob. And it clogs traffic worse than congestion, worse than construction on I-57. It shuts down a town that's already inundated with people coming in for the Passover. I'd like to say it's like a traffic jam in front of the mall, but we know those things just don't happen in Marion. And people... there's this odd conversation between a city in turmoil, some of the people who don't know who Jesus is, they want to know, and some people who are ready with the answer that this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. He does not check into the hotel first. Like, you come to town, right? You go to the hotel, you drop off your stuff, wash your face, use a restroom that's not in a truck stop, and then you go about your business. Jesus goes straight to the temple. He does not go to the temple to be polite or to make his manners. He goes to the temple, and he drives people out. Now, the image we have of Jesus is not one who's driving people out of church, right? So he goes to the temple and he overturns the tables of the money changers. He drives out the people selling, offering gifts. And he kind of gets mad. This is not what this is for. This is not a place to make money. This is not a place for greed. This is not a den of robbers. Now, interesting again that, you know, half the people in town don't seem to know who he is. The other half have the answer. And he's in the temple, and the blind and the lame and the sick, they know who he is because they start showing up. And he starts curing them. And the children know who he is because they're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." What that means, and this is not a good sign for your standard demographic Presbyterian congregation, is that your old fuddy-duddies have no clue who Jesus is. That's who doesn't have a clue. The kids get it. The sick people get it. The poor people get it. Your fuddy-duddies, well, maybe some of them get it, but some of them don't want to get it because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come in and they go, "Excuse me, have you heard what they're saying about you? Have you heard what they're saying about you? You need to make them stop." Jesus isn't about to make them stop. "Have you not heard?" he says, "out of the mouths of babes." And then he goes away. He goes away to Bethany. We know the family that lives in Bethany. Lazarus, he has a sister Mary and a sister Martha. He's going away to Bethany. Now he's going back to the hotel. This is perhaps Jesus at his most blunt, least tactful, not a parable to be seen in the place. "Clean the temple. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Make them stop talking about you like you're special. This is not the little Jesus that we see printed in the catalogs, in the poster picture that's all gentle, holding a child or a lamb, is it? This is not the Jesus in the immaculately dressed, perfect hair, wonderfully shaded, shaved beard. This is the Jesus who is red in the face. This is the Jesus who just dealt with traffic. This is the Jesus who knows exactly what needs to be done, and he is not going to let our foolishness get in the way. We have commented that the disciples can be a little slow. What I wanted us to think about is, when have we needed Jesus to be this blunt with us? When have we needed Jesus just to walk in because we're getting hysterical and slap us across the face twice and look us deep in the eyes and say, "I am the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? There's a "we" for that. There's a "we" for that. And there's an "I" for that. Right? There's an "I" for that. Because frankly, if your faith journey looks a little bit like mine, that still quiet voice gets talked over an awful lot. Sometimes it's easy to ignore when what you need is to be grabbed by the shoulders. "Pay attention to me. I'm coming to town." This is when Jesus does that. He essentially grabs an entire city, an entire people by the shoulders and says, "I'm here. Pay attention." It lasts about 72 hours. And then, as so often happens in life, that positive, "I'm here, look at me," turns into the negative, "I'm here, look at me." And the Pharisees are still looking at him. and they have not forgotten him. And they have not forgotten what was said about him. Now, they think they're going to win, and they're delusional. For once, Jesus does not mince words. He doesn't mince his actions. He doesn't go slowly so that we have time to catch up and follow along and read the cliff notes. He doesn't wait for us to figure out that, oh, these words are printed in red. We should pay attention. When is it that Jesus grabs us like this? How many of you have had a crisis and had what we call in the industry a come to Jesus session? How many of you have needed Jesus to grab you and make himself this real in your life? There's a reason we tell this story every year. Some years the rocks cry out if the kids are going to be quiet. We know that the kids are never going to be quiet, so the rocks are probably off the hook. Some years the arrest is imminent. Some years it foreshadows more about Judas. Some years it's already on that downhill slide. But what doesn't change is that Jesus does not hide who he is and what he's doing in the world. There's no parables about vineyards. There's no vineyard owner's son. There's no seeds. There's no scattering. There's no birds. Granger likes the fact there's no birds. There is somebody who boldly walks into town, rides into town. And when people say, you know, they're saying impossible things about you, he says, it's the truth. It's the truth out of the mouths of babes. Palm Sunday is one more day when God tries God's darndest to get us to pay attention. This week is loaded with those days. God is going to reach out and try to get us to pay attention on Thursday night. He's going to reach out and try to get us to pay attention on Friday at noon. He is going to let us sit with the consequences of not paying attention from Friday on noon until early on the first day of the week. And then God is going to try to get our attention once more with earthquakes and angels and the impossible. In a week, we got 4 or 5 big chances to finally pay attention. Are we going to finally pay attention to the one that every year we say is blessed, for he comes in the name of the Lord? To God alone be the glory today and forevermore. Amen.